This is the Fearless Presentations Podcast, the fastest, easiest way to reduce public speaking fear.
Want to absolutely eliminate public speaking fear? This podcast is the answer. Here's the guy who literally wrote the book on fearless presentations, Doug Stannert.
Welcome to the Fearless Presentations Podcast. This is Doug Stannert. I'm the CEO of Fearless Presentations, and I've got a couple of great things to kind of speak with you about today on the podcast. The first one is we're going to give you some quick tips on how to add stories into your presentation. So the topic is public speaking storytelling techniques to engage your audience, and it's actually going to help you reduce stage fright as well, or reduce that public speaking fear. Now, we have a tech find today as well, but we're going to flip-flop the tech find. Typically, we do the tech find first and then kind of go into the hot topic. But today we're going to flip-flop it a little bit. And the reason why is because the tech find is going to be something that will help you organize those stories. So after you get really good at coming up with good stories, you're going to have to find some place to kind of stick those ideas when they kind of pop into your head. And that tech find that we're going to cover today will help you do that.
So Doug, what's today's hot topic?
So today's hot topic is public speaking storytelling techniques to engage your audience and then also to eliminate public speaking fear. Stories are one of the best ways to actually reduce public speaking fear. We'll talk about that a little bit as we kind of go. But before I actually get into this session, you know, just kind of as an overview, the way you want to think about stories in your presentation is they're kind of like, I mean, a good analogy is they're kind of like sugar in a dessert. I mean, you can do a dessert without any sugar, but what's the point? And it's kind of the same with stories and presentations. If you're giving presentations without any stories or without any examples, there's a good chance that a lot of people in your audience are going to be going, well, what's the point? Why are you doing this, right? So your stories are kind of, I call them your ace in the hole. They are the things that kind of make your presentation come alive. They make it more interesting and they make it more fun for you, the presenter, and actually more fun for the people in the audience as well. So let's kind of talk a little bit about presentation stories and how to find the appropriate stories for your presentation. One of the questions I get asked a lot about in public speaking, in presentation classes and that kind of thing, is that folks will kind of come to me and they'll say, you know, I'm kind of hesitant to add stories into my presentation because X. And the X is usually, they'll say something like, well, because the people in my company or the people in my organization don't really tell stories, right? That's the thing that's kind of most common. Secondly, they'll say, I don't want to tell stories because I've heard people in the past who kind of overuse stories, and I don't want to be one of those people. So let me kind of get those things out of the way really quickly. If you are in an organization where stories aren't really relayed, it kind of tells me a lot about the organization. It probably means that a lot of presentations in that organization are going to be what I'd call boring. They're not going to be that interesting. They're going to be very dry. And so as a result, you can be one of the dry speakers if you just want to fit into the crowd. But if you want to stand above the crowd, do something a little differently. You don't have to give 100 stories, but if you give one and everybody else is given none, then, you know, people are going to see you as the expert. They're going to see you as the good speaker, the person that people want to pay attention to. So the other situation is where we've seen people in the past that just kind of tell random stories. They just kind of tell stories that may not have anything to do with the presentation. That's not what we're talking about here at all. In fact, the very first thing that you want to do in order to get your presentation rolling is you want to identify what point that you want to make. And if you haven't yet listened to the podcast on how to design good bullet points, I would encourage you to kind of do that. Also, look at the podcast notes, not only the podcast notes for that particular presentation, but you can look for the podcast notes on this one as well, and you can kind of follow along. To go to any of the podcast notes, if you go to fearlesspresentations.com, You can actually type in fearlesspresentations.com/podcast, and it'll give you a list of all of the different podcasts that we have. This one is podcast number 7. So podcast number 7. So if you go to fearlesspresentations.com/podcast7, it should pull up the podcast notes here for you. So point number 1, though, is identify what point that you want to make and follow the guidelines that we gave you in that presentation about how to design good bullet points. If you're designing your bullet points that way, they're going to be very audience focused, and you can pretty much, if you design a really good bullet point, you should be able to just kind of read it and think in your mind, oh God, what's an example I can use here? And a story, boom, should kind of pop into your head pretty quickly. Something related from your own experience related to that bullet point should kind of come. It should be fairly easy to do. If you're having trouble coming up with stories for any reason, it's a good idea to kind of back up. That usually means that your bullet points aren't really good. So make sure and kind of keep that in mind, that if you're having trouble with your stories, go back and look at your bullet point. The tips that we gave you in the bullet point designing process is to make them real audience focused. One of the things that you want to do is make your bullet points into a complete sentence. So if there's a subject, a verb, some adjectives, some adverbs in there, if it makes a statement that you can prove, then when you read that statement, it should bring up ideas on stories or examples that you can use in your presentation. The other thing that we encourage you to do is if it's a persuasive presentation, add in what we call the why. You know, what's the benefit to the audience for them doing this bullet point? So if they do this thing that you're asking them to do, if they believe this thing that you're telling them, what's the benefit to them? So if you're thinking about those two kind of things, the statement itself and then the benefit to the audience, it should be fairly easy to come up with a quick example. So the second important thing about stories is you want to realize that your own personal experience is very valuable to the audience. In fact, one of the things that we say in our public speaking classes a lot is that what is common sense to you is likely uncommon to other people. And a lot of times we forget about that. Those things that we do on a day-to-day basis that we become experts at, those are things that we can teach to other people or that we can share with other people. And when they hear them, it's new information to them because they don't have our experience. They don't have our background. They don't have our years of doing that activity. So just those common everyday experiences told to your audience in a story format can be very, very valuable. I'll give you a good example. Like for instance, in the very first podcast that I did on Fearless Presentations, I gave you guys kind of my background story about how I gave a presentation when I was an intern and it was a horrible, horrible experience. Well, you know, that basically tells you a little bit about me and about my background, and it gives you a good idea of my expertise or where my expertise came from, because when I had that experience, I wanted to make sure I never had another experience like that before. And so as a result, I did a ton of training. I did a ton of studying. I did a ton of practice. I got a ton of coaching. You know, all those kind of things that you're probably going through now, I went through as well. So if I can do this, if I can be a professional speaker, anybody can do this based on my experience anyway, right? So you can use those examples from your own personal experience, and they are very, very valuable. I'll give you another example. When I first got into the speaking, and actually this was actually before I actually got into the speaking business, is when I found a way to kind of fix that public speaking fear that I had. I had been working for an oil company in West Texas for a couple of years at that point, and I was in kind of a, I wouldn't say a dead end job, but I knew that at that particular point in my career, I didn't have a lot of upward mobility because the price of oil had gone way down and the company was laying a lot of people off. And since I was one of the last guys that got hired, I knew that I was probably one of the first guys to kind of get canned. And so I was really worried about what I wanted to do. And one of my good friends at the time was in sales, and he said, you know, Doug, with your personality, you should go into sales. You could make a fortune as a sales guy. I was terrified though, because I had a salary. You know, if I gave up that salary to go especially into commission sales, well, that was kind of risky. And granted, at the time, I didn't have a whole lot of expenses, so it would have been fairly easy for me. But, you know, from my perspective, since it was a risk to me, it made me very, very nervous. And so I sat down with a young lady that was teaching a leadership training class in Midland, Texas, and she and I met at a restaurant for coffee. because neither one of us had an office. She worked out of her home, and I didn't want to bring her to the oil company office. So we kind of met for coffee, and I was telling her about how I really wanted to go into sales, but I was terrified, and I was wondering if her training program, her leadership class, might be able to help me. And she gave me a couple of examples of people that had gone through. They had been in sales, and after going through her class, they had increased their sales pretty dramatically. And so it was possible anyway. So after we had spoken for, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 minutes or so, had a couple of cups of coffee, I said, okay, so how much is this course? Because it was a 3-month course. It was a pretty good commitment. And she told me, and at the time, and by the way, the tuition for that class, this was back in the early 90s, was about $800, which that's probably about $2,500 in today's monetary value. So it was a lot of money for me. And I was making okay money at the oil company, but not that kind of money though. I didn't have that kind of income just kind of sitting around. And I told her that. I said, boy, Marianne, that's a lot of money. I'm not sure if I'll be able to kind of come up with it, because the class was going to be starting in a little over 2 months. And I said, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pull in that kind of money that fast. And she said, well, you know, if it's that important to you, if this new career that you want to go into is that important to you, you'll find a way. And that's all I needed her to say, because at that point I'd kind of made the commitment I had in my head that, okay, yeah, I'll find some way to do this. And the oil company that I worked for at the time, there were projects that were out of town, and the oil company would actually pay us for mileage if we drove over, I think it was over 50 miles or whatever it was. And so I started basically volunteering for all of the projects that were furthest away from the office. And the reason why is because I would get a bonus check every paycheck for the number of miles that I went. And that was kind of the difference that I needed to be able to get that additional income to go take her class. And the rest is kind of history, because as a result of going through her class, within 6 weeks, it was a 12-week course. Within 6 weeks of me joining that class, I'd quit my job at the oil company and I'd gone into sales. And then within 6 months of the time that I started that sales job, they'd promoted me to the sales manager, and I was making more of my bonus checks every month than what I was making at the oil company. So I went back to the lady that taught the class. I said, hey, this stuff really works. Can you teach me how to do this? And so she brought me on as her first salesperson. So that's really how I got started in the industry. Now, basically, those little stories, those little examples from our own personal experience are things that they add character to our presentation. There are things that make our presentations unique. So the presentation that I give is going to be totally unique from the presentations that other people give. And it's going to tell each one of those stories that we tell give insight to help other people make better decisions in their own career, in their own life, in their own situation. So we can use those as great ways to kind of teach people. I get one final example here about speaking from your own personal experience. I was doing a public speaking class in New York City, and this has been probably, I guess, maybe 5 years or so ago. And there were two young people in the class. Most of the time, the folks that are coming through the 2-day public speaking classes are probably, I'd say, anywhere from early 30s to maybe 50 or so. That's kind of the age range that most people are when they come through one of our public speaking classes. But these two young people were actually in high school. One was a senior in high school. One was a freshman. And they were brother and sister, by the way. And one of the things that we do early in the class is we have them organize a quick presentation, like a 2-minute presentation on something that they've done recently that they consider to be a success. Now, the reason why we do this in class, by the way, is we're trying to get people to see that the things that they do on a day-to-day basis are the things that make them successful. A lot of times people think of success as being something grandiose or something that we're going toward, not something that we accomplish every day. So we're trying to get them to see that those normal everyday experiences like we're talking about here are very valuable to your audiences. But knowing that these two young people were, you know, a freshman and senior in high school, they don't have the expertise, they don't have the experience, they don't have the years of stories to kind of fall back on. So I wanted to make sure and kind of coach them a little bit. So I went to the young lady. She was, like I said, she was a senior in high school. And I said, so a lot of people are going to talk about things that they do at work. Since you're still in high school, you might talk about, you know, a test that you did well. well on, or a class that you did well in, or something like that, right? And she kind of thought for a second. She said, well, you know, I did speak at Carnegie Hall. I mean, I did play at Carnegie Hall once. And I went, we all kind of looked at her. We're all trying to help her in class come up with something really good. Well, okay, well, yeah, that'll do. So you played an instrument at Carnegie Hall. Well, all right. So, and then it was funny because I was thinking, okay, well, all right, obviously the little boy, the freshman, he's probably not going to have as much to kind of pull back on. And I said, well, what about you? I said, do you have anything that you think has been a success for you so far? And he said, well, my friends and I did start a nonprofit. And we're all looking at each other. And basically all the adults in the room are kind of looking, because we're all sitting here trying to figure out what we would talk about in our careers. And these two young people had just accomplished so much in such a short period of time. So keep that in mind. We all have our experiences. We all have our stories. We all have our successes. And they can be used as great teaching tools for people that are listening to our presentation. So for each one of those bullet points that you've come up with in the previous session, read those bullet points and think of your own personal experiences that you can use as evidence that those bullet points are true, and you'll come up with some really good presentations. The next thing that you want to keep in mind about stories is that people remember moments. They don't remember days, months, or years. So the stories that you tell should be little excerpts of a moment in time. And we call them incidents, right? An incident of something that happened. So the analogy or the example that I use in class is that a novel is a story. But the novel is made up of thousands of different incidents. And we don't want you to tell a novel when you're up in front of a group. You want to tell an incident or a moment in time. A good example of this is I was one of my first big clients that did business with me for years and years and years was a company out of Houston called 3D International, 3DI. And they were an engineering firm and worked with them for a number of years on doing what they call shortlist presentations. So these guys would go out and they would be like program manager, project managers for these big, huge construction projects, really. You know, they'd build skyscrapers, they'd build schools, they'd build university buildings, that kind of thing. So now I worked with that particular company for about 4 years on a number of different projects. But if I tried to explain to an audience that 4 year process, that would be very difficult for them to kind of understand exactly what was going on. And it would probably be kind of boring as well. So instead of telling about the whole four years, I might pick one specific incident from that 4 year project that we worked on that was notable. And the one that kind of comes to mind, that moment in time that comes to mind was the second presentation that I kind of helped them with. They were competing to build a huge high-tech microbiology center on the campus of the University of Texas in Austin, so downtown Austin. And we were a couple of days before the presentation was going to be made, and they had rented a hotel meeting room, and I think it was a Hilton, maybe a Sheraton, but it was in downtown Austin overlooking the campus. And so they had me come in, and they had all of their presenters coming in, and I was kind of coaching them. And as we were walking through the presentation that they'd organized before I'd got there, I started noticing that a lot of what was in their presentation at the time was about them and about how good they were. And I said, well, if we really want to think about this from the buyer's perspective, these folks that work at this university that are going to be purchasing this center, this building, you know, what are they most interested in? And and as we kind of brainstorm around the room about what would be most interesting to these folks, we're kind of looking out the window at the University of Texas campus, which is really gothic. You know, it's if you walk around the University of Texas campus, it's a castle like. There's gargoyles and all kinds of interesting features on these concrete buildings and stuff like that. So it's a beautiful campus, by the way. But the proposed building that they were going to be putting into on the campus, since it was going to be a high-tech building, what they were proposing before I got there was this glass and aluminum and, you know, this thing that looked like it was something out of Epcot or something from a futuristic movie. And if they went in to kind of present that to these folks at UT, that was probably not going to go over very well, because that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for something that's going to keep their campus pristine. Well, after we kind of brainstormed a little bit, one of the architects that was in the room came up with this idea just to kind of go around the campus and sketch things that he thought were good features, right? And so he took a pencil and a sketchbook, and he kind of just started making sketches, pencil sketches of different things that were on the campus that were really interesting. And we ended up adding those into the presentation. So a couple of days later, when they actually gave the presentation, when they made one of the slides in the PowerPoint slideshow blank. So it was just a white slide. And what they did was, when it got to that white slide, they slid a tripod up in front of it to where that white slide was now acting as a spotlight. And then this architect kind of came up with his sketches, and he said, this is what I saw on this such and such building, and I really like this. I think this would be a good thing to add in. And he did that over and over and over and over again. That was right in the middle of their presentation. Then they jumped back into their PowerPoint slideshow. As a result, the folks that were purchasing this building thought that, at least I'm assuming anyway, they ended up getting the deal. They ended up getting the job. And I'm assuming that the reason why is because those folks who were making that purchase realized that these guys know what we want. They can help us get what we want. We don't want a monstrosity. We don't want a futuristic building sitting in the middle of our Gothic campus, right? And so as a result, they were able to kind of get that deal. So basically, that one incident about what happened on that particular day in that room at the hotel overlooking the University of Texas campus tells you more about that four-year process that I spent with that company than what I would have been able to kind of explain if I kind of told you all the details about what happened in the 4 years. And it makes it a whole lot more interesting for you as well. So take your presentation stories and trim them down into the bite-size moments in time, the things that are most interesting to the audience. By the way, it makes it a whole lot easier to deliver the presentation when you're talking about an incident. It'll actually help you reduce your nervousness. So if you actually get fearful when you're in front of a group, you get that anxiety, if you get that nervousness, if you get into those specific incidents, it makes it real easy to reduce that stage fright. One of the ways that you can reduce that stage fright is to just kind of play the movie in your head. When you're thinking about that incident, there'll be a kind of a movie playing in your head. It'll be kind of a video that's playing. And all you have to do is just kind of recite to the audience what you're seeing. Just kind of explain to them in detail kind of what you're seeing. The more details that you put into it, by the way, the more interesting it tends to be for the audience. So don't trim out too much of the details, because it makes it less interesting. And by the way, when you get into that recitation, it, like I said, it will help you reduce your nervousness pretty dramatically. One final thing before we kind of end this particular session is that, in addition to our own personal stories, our own personal incidents, sometimes you can tell anecdotes that will help you that will help you use other people's stories as your evidence, which, by the way, it can be very, very valuable. For instance, let's say that you're an executive working for a company and you want to tell a good success story. Well, if you haven't actually worked with the client, you might have to go to the salesperson or to the customer service rep or to the person that the person who's dealing with the end user and get that person to tell you about that story. And then you can use the story in your presentation. The difficulty with the anecdotes, those second person stories, though, is that they can be a little bit more challenging to deliver. So they take a little bit more practice. Whereas if you're telling something from your own personal experience, you just kind of play the video in your head, and you only have to practice that maybe once or twice, and you'll do phenomenal with that. If you're telling somebody else's story, though, you're going to want to kind of practice that a few times. And then after you practice it a few times, go back to the person who told you the story. Tell them the story and see if you've left out any of the pertinent details, or make sure that you're giving them the story in a very accurate kind of way. Another type of anecdote, by the way, is where you can kind of tell stories from, sometimes you can insert kind of humorous stories or funny stories into your presentation. Those can be valuable, especially if you're trying to liven up the mood, that kind of thing. But one of the anecdotes I like to use is is using stories about other people who are successful. So other experts that are in the industry that you're presenting on, if you can tell their stories about how they use something that you're asking them to do, then it helps you build your credibility. I'll give you a good example of this. But one of the very first books that I ever read about selling when I was a sales guy was a book by a guy named Frank Betcher, and the book's title was How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling. It's a phenomenal book, by the way. This book was written, I think, probably in the 30s or 40s, and so it's getting to be almost 100 years old. So a lot of the stuff that's in there is pretty outdated. But some of the stuff that he kind of talks about in there is very, very valuable. Very valuable. One of the things that he talks about in the introduction, before he actually gets into talking about how to sell, is he talks about the power of enthusiasm and energy. And he said that's the real secret to selling. By the way, it's a secret to presentation skills as well. Is your energy, your enthusiasm is the secret to selling. But he tells a story about how he was playing baseball and. Playing baseball on a minor league team, and when it was his first day, and he kind of wanted to fit in with everybody, so he was just kind of tossing around the ball just like everybody else was. He didn't want to show off. He was a pretty good player, but he didn't want to. He didn't want to kind of make waves or anything like that. So after about a week or so, the manager pulled him aside and just ripped him a new one. It basically told him how, you know, he was dogging it like, you know, like these veterans that had been around, and basically just really reamed him. And he kicked him off the team. Well, he ended up having to play I think he was making like 25 cents a week or something like that for the next lower level baseball team. But he said he kind of made a vow at that point. He said, nobody's ever going to rip me like that again for not having energy or not having enthusiasm. So he was zooming the ball. He did everything that he did during practice and warmups with a lot of energy. And there was a scout from the St. Louis Cardinals that ended up watching him practice or play one of the games. And within a couple of weeks, he had actually been drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals, and he was playing in the major leagues. So here, this guy who had fired him, you know, less than a month ago, was now seeing newspaper reports of this guy that he had fired as a first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. And so Betcher talks about how that enthusiasm that he had led to his success in baseball, and he also ties that to the same type of success that he had in sales. How when he was enthusiastic and energetic, he sold more. Well, I tell that story. I give examples of that story in my presentation classes all the time because it's a good anecdote that you can use to show how energy and enthusiasm is very important, very valuable to the presentation process and to the sales process if you're trying to persuade people. So basically, if you have something that's a major point that you're trying to make, you don't necessarily just want to rely on your own expertise. If you can rely on the expertise of somebody else and tell that story, it can make your presentation even more valuable. So what I want to do is just kind of wrap up with stories and kind of show you how really valuable these things are. Stories do a bunch for you, by the way. Stories are a fantastic way to capture people's attention. They make your presentation more memorable. They will help you build rapport with people. They'll help you build credibility. They'll build a team atmosphere. Those five things are things that stories will do no matter what. When you start talking with your when you start delivering your presentations with your own personal incidents, though, it will help you reduce your public speaking fear, and it's going to help you increase your energy. It's going to help you be more persuasive when you're in front of the group. So there's a lot of phenomenal benefits from inserting stories into your presentation. So I would encourage you to insert a bunch of stories into your presentation, at least one for every bullet point that you deliver. If you do that, you're going to have a bunch of fearless presentations. So now that you got all these great ideas for stories, you're going to want to find some place to kind of store these so that you don't forget them. And that's where this week's Tech Find can really help you.
Tech Find, high-tech gadgets to make your presentations better.
So the tech find this week is an iPhone app called Idea Organizer. And this is a really cool kind of app because it does a few things that can really help you design presentations more effectively. One of the biggest things that we have that folks ask us about anyway is they'll come up and they'll say, God, you have such great stories and examples. Well, those things are stories that we kind of come up with. A lot of times we're not coming up with those on the spot. It's something that we identified would make a point in the presentation, and then we kind of figured out because that story can be helpful in making that point, we kind of make a note of it somewhere. So that's one of the cool things about this particular app is that when you download it, it's got a place that, you know, basically you just kind of put your idea, whatever the idea is. Let's say you've got a presentation coming up and you make that idea, the presentation title, your idea, and you can put lots of notes in there. So it's got a place where you can kind of type up everything. Now, on that same page, though, it's got a place where you can access your iPhone pictures and your camera, and it's also got a voice recorder on there. So let's say you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a great idea for a presentation that's coming up, and you don't want to turn on the lights or anything. Well, you can just grab your iPhone, make a quick video audio note, you know, record an audio recording of your idea, and it's right there for you the next morning when you wake up. You know, a lot of times, you know, great ideas for presentations will kind of come that way. The place that I kind of found out about this is I was listening to a podcast, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago. And there was the guy who was being interviewed was a minister, a pastor. And so as a result, he had to come up with a new presentation every week. Every Sunday, he was going to be up giving a presentation. And the person who was interviewing him asked him, you know, how do you come up with new content every single week? That's a lot of new content to come up with every single week. And he said, well, you know, I have this idea bucket. And when he said that, a light switch kind of flipped in my head where I was thinking, an idea bucket? Man, that's fantastic. So basically what I did at that point is I started using my notes page or the notes app on my iPhone as the place to kind of put my ideas. The problem with that, though, is it can be really disorganized, you know, so and you can only just type stuff up. So if you have a story, it may take you a while to type up your story on an iPhone. But if you come up with a quick story and you can kind of give a video test or audio testimonial of what that story is, it can kind of save you a whole lot of time and make things a whole lot faster and easier. The neat thing about this app, though, is that once you have the idea and all of the audio or photos or whatever it is that you have as part of the idea, it's got a place where you can kind of email that idea to you. So you just hit the email button and it pops up your email program and you can email it to yourself so you can get all the notes and everything. So I love this app. It's one of the cool things that will really help you better organize your presentation and to help you put new content into your presentation over and over and over again. So get a lot of use out of this one.
Tech Find, high-tech gadgets to make your presentations better.
So thanks for listening to the Fearless Presentations podcast. Make sure and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss an episode. And if you get a chance, run to iTunes and give us a positive review if you really like the presentation. In addition to that, you can download the podcast notes at fearlesspresentations.com/podcast7.
Subscribe to this podcast for new public speaking secrets each week.